Book of Colossians again this morning. We'll start here. I know last week for our homecoming, I preached on these verses. We broke them down verse by verse, looked at them, and we looked at the goal of the Christian, if you remember. This morning we'll be back here as we will start here and then go through some more scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading and the receiving and the preaching of His Word. We've been looking at this as we are continuing going through the book of Galatians, and we'll get back there as soon as we finish the personal perfections of God. You and I as Christians, we should be progressing in the knowledge of who our God is. And this only comes from the Scriptures. We talked this morning a little bit in Sunday school about general revelation and specific revelation. Obviously, doctrine matters. And general revelation is the fact that we know there's a God because of creation, don't we? Look around, and if you look at your own body, there's no way that we came from two tadpoles in a mud puddle somewhere, okay? Or two tiny amoebas, whatever, however you want to look at it. We were created. Special revelation tells us about who did these things, right? Who is it? The Creator is God. Who is God? Well, that's what we're learning. We learn about God from His Word, from the Scriptures. We learned last week from this text that God reveals Himself to those whom He wills to reveal Himself. As you and I grow in who God is, our love for Him should also grow. Because we find out things about God. We find out, as we've learned, He is infinite. What He has decreed to pass will come to pass, and nothing and no one can stop Him or change those decrees. These decrees are eternal, cannot be changed. We've learned He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is the all-knowing one. We've learned He is faithful in all things, all the time. God is faithful. We learned that God is good. God is good. And this morning, Lord willing, we're going to learn something that should really help you and I, and that is that God is patient. God is patient. If there's one thing that people are scared to pray for, it is usually patience. I can remember as a new babe in Christ, as a new Christian, when I was 25 years old, I can remember praying for patience. I prayed for it twice, back to back, and that was hard. That was tough. But you know what? It changed my life. The Lord changed my life. Amen? Praying for patience. But no matter how patient you and I are, we're not patient as He who is all patient. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Remember, we base everything off of the Scriptures. They don't change. And we'll come back to the book of Romans before we finish this morning. Romans 15, verse 5. The Bible says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Now notice what this goes to, or what this should produce, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of patience. God is patient. He did not become patient. This is one of His personal perfections. He has always been patient. The patience of God is perfect, it is pure, and it is perpetual. It seems like there's not much said about the patience of God, but this is one perfection of God that we really abuse. Much is said about God's mercy, and it should be, right? His mercy is anew every day, and how wonderful is God's mercy. We talk about God's grace and how wonderful God's grace is, and it is. How about God's forgiveness and God's love? We can keep going, can't we, about these personal perfections of God. But His patience seems to be a small matter. But this is surely not so. Just stop for a second and think about what would happen if God was not patient with us. I'm talking about those whom He has saved, those whom He has redeemed, His own children. If He was not patient with us, what would happen? If God was not patient, this means He would be constantly moved by His passions. He would always be reacting to what was going on, to what we were doing. God, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful, if He were constantly controlled by His passions, that is a very scary thought. You and I are like that, aren't we? We are impatient. Whoever in here has the most patience is still impatient. We get mad. Something doesn't go our way, what do? We get aggravated. Have you ever gotten so mad you hit something? Not somebody, okay? So that happens too sometimes. But you hit something. When you were lost, hopefully you have not done it since you were saved, you may have punched holes in walls when you get mad. You may throw stuff. I was telling somebody this week that we had got some beef from my grandpa, my mom's dad, whenever I was a teenager. And as we chewed this beef, you had to be very careful because there would be BBs in the beef. Because grandpa would get mad and go out there and shoot the cow. But he gladly gave us some beef, which we were thankful for. But there was BBs all in it. You'd be eating a burger and all of a sudden, kink, ah. He was not patient. Now picture God being mad at that. Picture God getting mad just hitting a star somewhere. What would that do to the universe? See, if God lost His patience, there would be cosmic chaos. It'd be over. So, but doesn't God judge people? Yes, He does judge people. Even in God's judgment upon a person, people, or a nation, and even all the lost at the great white throne judgment, God does not lose His patience. One of His personal perfections does not cancel out another. God's personal perfections are who He is and who He has always been and who He will always be. I have to say I'm very thankful that God was patient with me when I was lost, and even more since He has saved me. God is patient, which also means that God is slow to anger. And God's anger is a righteous anger. Yours and our and mine is usually not. When He is angry, He has the right to be angry. And though God is slow to anger, this doesn't mean He does not get angry. You know, the Bible says God is also jealous. The Bible says that God is furious and takes vengeance on people. Let's turn to the book of Nahum. It's in the Old Testament. If you've been on Wednesday nights, you know where Jonah is. It's just a couple books past Jonah. Go past Jonah book and turn right. And it's right there. Nahum, chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. We have to ask the question here, who are those who are God's adversaries? Who is it that's God's enemies? These are those who are lost. Those whom the Lord has not saved. The Lord is slow to anger. Notice this, and great in power, because He is all-powerful. And will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence. Yeah. The world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. But with an overrunning flood He will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue His enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Excuse me. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when He shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more, for now will I break His yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds asunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, O Judah. Keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. As I mentioned earlier, one attribute of God, one personal perfection of God does not annihilate another one. God is patient. But God is also, as we learned from the Scriptures this morning, He is also furious. He is also jealous. He also takes vengeance on those who know not Him. And I'm going to talk this morning to those of you who are lost. I want y'all to listen. I hope all of us listen. But if you're lost this morning, I really want you to listen to what the Bible says. And if you don't know if you're lost or saved, then more than likely you're lost. And we can discuss that after church this morning if you'd like. I would love to sit down and go over the Bible with you. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That was Psalm 9:17. Psalm 7:11 says, "That God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Psalm 5:5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." We're familiar with these scriptures, aren't we? God doesn't just hate the sin. He hates the sinner. God doesn't cast sin into hell, does He? What's He cast? Who's He cast? The sinner. Who are the wicked nations that forget God? So those who don't love God. They love themselves. They love their sin. They will not stand in His sight. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Even now, listen, lost person, even now, as you sit in these pews, the wrath of God abides on you. Because of His patience with you. Which, as Brother Jeremy pointed out Wednesday night, which is in the common grace of God, that you're not consumed. Only by His patience. We see the patience of God and the common graces of God. Understand that God has every right at this very moment to cast everyone He has not saved into the pits of hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. But we see the laws and joy and things of this on this earth, don't we? We see the lost prospering. We see those who hate God who are doing very well. What you see is the patience of God. See, we're saved by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 14, Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I understand that I cannot make anybody believe what the Bible says. If I could, I would, but I can't make you believe. Please hear me. We see those who are lost living life and having a blast, piling judgment upon judgment upon themselves. They live as if God is not real. They live as a saying of a God, He's not real, because things keep going like they've been going. That's what the mocker said in 2 Peter. And they don't realize that one day everything's going to melt with a fervent heat. The lost live as if God is not real, but they also live as if they will not be judged. For what is sin is what the Bible calls sin. You may say, how do you know that? Because I was once lost. And I lived for myself. I lived to fulfill my own lustful and sinful desires. And I would use people to get what I wanted. Piling judgment upon judgment. Thank God that he was patient. Thank God for his mercy and for his saving grace. Why is it that people keep living in open, known sin? Why is it that people live in open rebellion against God? Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Please listen, lost person. You may prosper under the patience of God, but the day of reckoning is coming. Matthew 16:26-27, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. I'm going to say that again. He shall reward every man according to his works. According to his works. His works. What's his works? His deeds. His lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle are you living? What kind of works are you doing? Understand this, that God, who is all-knowing, knows your works. The Bible says he even knows your thoughts. Those things that no one else knows. Those things you think when you're alone. Those things you look at on your phone. Those things you do, you think no one else knows. God knows all of our works. It gets worse. I'm not trying to paint a terrible picture here. I'm trying to make us understand how patient God is with us. There's a worse punishment for you who are here today than for someone who is in a remote place or wherever who has never heard of Christ. There is a worse punishment. There's a worse punishment for those who know the truth. To the book, chapter 10. Remember, we base everything on the Word of God, not opinions or denominations, but upon the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. Look in verse 29. For punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. Notice this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. you know about Jesus. You've learned about Jesus. You've heard about Him most of your life. Listen, some of y'all have been coming to church since you were in the womb. You've heard the gospel. Heard it. Yet you still live your life like God's not real. God is being patient with you. Another word for patience is long-suffering. He is being patient because, as we read it a while ago in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36, His wrath abides on you even now. Do we understand that approximately 90 people or more die every minute around the world? And all those whom the Lord has not redeemed, has not saved, open their eyes, being in the torments of what? Hell. That's what the Bible tells us. The torments of hell. And all those whom the Lord has saved, to be absent from the bodies, to be what? Present with the Lord. It's joyous. God is patient. But He gives a commandment today for the whole world to do. And that commandment is to repent. Christ came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. At one time God winked at the ignorance, men, but now commands all men everywhere to do what? Repent. What does repent mean? To turn. To turn from their sins. To turn from their wickedness. To turn from idolatry. To turn from religion. And turn to Jesus Christ. In other words, you're trusting only Christ for salvation. And nothing and no one else. Thank God for His patience and for His plan, redemption. Romans chapter 4, verse 24, through chapter 5, verse 1. If you want to turn there. Romans 4, 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our, notice this, what? Our justification. What is justification? It's a one-time act that has eternal, or I should say continual, results. Amen. As only God can do. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is patient. He is patient with the lost. And I'm thankful He's also patient with those of us whom He has saved. Because I need it. See, all of us whom the Lord saves, we have been forgiven of all of our sins, haven't we? Christ, while on the cross, He fully paid the sin debt for all who have been and will be saved. One day, you and I who were saved will stand before God, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And upon that basis, and that basis alone, will we be accepted. And we look forward to that day, don't we? But until then, we are thankful for the continued patience of God. We got to keep this in mind. All whom the Lord has saved is a work in progress. Amen. We're not working to be saved, but to become more like Christ. We can't work to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of what works, lest any man should boast. Look forward to that day to be with Him. But we want to be like Christ now, don't we? Those who are truly saved. This is in every aspect of our lives. Let's just pause for a second and think about this. Think about how much we fail God daily. Yet He is patient with us. Aren't you glad God's not like us? How many times a day do you get mad at people because you've lost your patience with them? You get mad and you want to, again, kick something. You want to throw something. You want to stab something. Not somebody. You want to take out that frustration. I'm not sure how many of y'all know this, but my wife was a blessing to me. I think everybody knows that. And she usually knows what I need and when I need it. A couple years ago, she bought me a punching bag for Christmas. I guess without her saying it, she thought I needed something to take out impatience on. I have not used it much. Not because I'm super spiritual, because it hurts when I hit it. So I guess there's a certain way you're supposed to hit it. I don't know. I just know you're supposed to hit it. But think about how much we fail God. Yet He's patient with us. I do want to point out before I get there, He does not overlook sin, okay? So don't take His patience as saying He's good with sin, because He's not. Christ tells us not to be angry with anyone without a cause. Christ tells us not to look upon someone with lust. Christ tells us not to retaliate. Christ tells us to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, and do good to them that hate us, and pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. That's what Christ tells us to do. So where'd you get that from? The Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew, chapters 5 and 6 and 7. You can go read it. I just kind of gave a summary of it. What are we supposed to do? Live like Christ. You know, we are Christians. A Christian is to live like Christ. All right, so let's go back over this. Have we been angry with anyone without a cause? Have we looked upon someone to lust? Have we retaliated? Have we loved our enemies? Have we blessed them that cursed us? Do we do good to them that hate us? Do we pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us? I'm not sure about y'all, but I cannot check all these boxes and say I do it all right every day, because I don't. I get angry. How about sin? Do any of us fail in these areas? Actually, to disobey what Christ tells us to do here is actually sin. How wonderful is the patience of our God with us. We all of us are a work in progress, right? Every one of us. We're learning. We're growing. We are told to do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Go back to Romans 15, please. Start in verse 1. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, notice this, of what? The Scriptures might have hope. And the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us. Why? To the glory of God. All of us who are saved are growing in the Lord. We are maturing as Christians. For some reason, we can look at those who we would consider to be heroes of the faith even today. If we're not careful, we can set them up on a pedestal and we can look at them and say, well, I'm not like that person. Boy, what a failure I am. Not understanding that that person is mature in the faith, not because they were mature the very day the Lord saved them, but they have been a work in progress their whole life since the Lord has saved their soul. What are you and I? We are a work in progress. God is patient with us, and we should be patient with others. You know what we're going to do? We're going to mess up. That doesn't give us the right to mess up. But we're all going to fail every day. I am thankful that God does not lose his patience with us. Imagine if God said, "Doggone it! How many times do I have to tell you, don't do that? Don't think that. Don't say that. There you go again. What? Come here, boy." I'm going to jerk you up and get you over here. God's not like us. God does chasten us. He does scourge every son whom he receives, everyone whom he loves. He does this for our good, and he does this in a righteous manner. How patient is our God with us? This is something to really dwell upon. Since he is patient with us, we should be patient with each other as we continue to grow as Christians. And patient, listen, with ourselves. You know, sometimes we can be our own worst critic. So be patient. This doesn't mean that we turn our eyes from sin or a blind eye to sin. That's not what we're doing. That's not what God does. But that we are patient. And as we look around, we see people who face the same struggles. No one here is exempt. We have the same problems, don't we? We're robed in a stinking flesh. This flesh is at enmity with God. This flesh says it hates God. And listen, that's how it acts, doesn't it? As we read this earlier from the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, sometimes God, we can say, withdraws from us and lets these manifold temptations and trials come upon our lives to show us where we're at spiritually. Because sometimes we can think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. It says, well, you know, I'm the most spiritual person in the room. Really? All right, stub your toe on the way out the door. Hit one of these hard pews on your way out with your shin. Let's see how spiritual you are. Something as easy as that. A.W. Pink said this, "May our meditation upon this divine excellency soften our hearts, make our consciences tender, and may we learn in the school of holy experience the patience of saints, namely, submission to the divine will and continuance in well-doing. Let us earnestly seek grace to emulate this divine excellency." How patient is God with us? I don't think we really grasp how patient God is with us. But may we be patient with others for our good and for the glory of God. He is worthy to serve. He is worthy to obey. And for those of you who are lost, if you do not understand how to be saved, please let me know. We will share a scripture with you that will point you to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray.